What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Brass Ring Media Podcast. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Glad you're here. I know we're glad to be here. I'm Zach Haydorn. That is Tyler Sage. Tyler, have you recovered from your weekend or just day in St. Louis?
Yeah, you know.
A few hours, I guess.
I would say that I have. Sorry, dealing with some technical issues here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Cut off.
We got you.
All right. I can't hear you. So.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I'll figure that out once you're talking. Sure. Let's say it. I barely made it here for the show, but we're here. I missed Raw last night in person. So a lot to talk about. That arena. And I think just the where WWE is at that arena sounded good. So I'm here. Happy to be here compared to the rest of my day. So yeah.
Yes, this is always good to a good way to put a exclamation point on Tuesday. And yeah, we're glad to be here. We're glad you're all here with us. We're going to be talking a heavy WWE today, just due to the fact that we'll be heavy on AEW and Dynamite on Thursday for our second flagship of the week. And so with that said, we wanted to make sure that we tackled WWE a lot, given the fact that they've got a pretty big week ahead of them, like with the WWE draft. And so we want to give the WWE draft a lot of time. We want to give Becky Lynch some time. We want to talk about that and talk about the fact that we have a new WWE Women's World Champion. And of course, we're going to take all your questions, all your comments all night long in our chat, in our super chat. So we appreciate you all being here. The chat room is already filling up. We already have Zach in there and Adam's in there. Azan is in there. Once again, folks, this is the Brass Ring Media Podcast. We are live right here on YouTube every single day, Monday through Thursday, twice on Thursday. This is the first of two flagship shows. We do a flagship show on Tuesday night right now. We do a flagship show Thursday afternoon. Usually it's WWE heavy today and AEW heavy on Thursdays. We will make some time to take a super chat about the Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson match tonight. So you can look forward to that. And if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you do that. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure notifications are turned on so you know when we are live and when we add new content to the YouTube channel. If you want to check out our written work, and you should, and I hope you do, you can head over to Substack and check out our newsletter there. It's daily show reviews, feature columns, all sorts of cool written stuff from Tyler, from myself, from others. I watch WWE Speed on behalf of everybody, so you're welcome for that. It's a weird show, so check out the review. I put it up on Substack. You can check that out now. And if you want more of a heavy dose of what we do, you can become a Brass Ring Media member. It's $4. You can do it on Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. It gets you access to all of our pay-per-view review shows right after the pay-per-view, about 24 hours after, whether it's a PLE for WWE or an AEW pay-per-view. We cover it match by match by match with analysis and star ratings. We did that this weekend, or yesterday, I guess. The AEW Dynasty PLE or pay-per-view review show went live for our members, so you can check that out. You'll also get full access to our newsletter, so all of our paid content and free content. You'll get a free weekly member-only podcast and access to the Discord community too. So hopefully you guys become a member. It is $4 only, and we think you get a lot of value. We think you'll enjoy what we do on a big level. So please give us a shot. We'd greatly appreciate it. As for tonight, we'll be taking some super chats. If you guys are willing to contribute, we certainly would appreciate it. Any comment, any question, drop it in the super chats. We'll make sure to read those live before we get off the air here. We already got some great ones in there about Becky Lynch and about Rhea Ripley and, as I said, about the Danielson match. So a lot to get to, but keep them coming. We really appreciate it at any value, and it really helps us keep this thing going. And we thank you in advance for that. Cool. Tyler, are you surprised that WWE did make more of a deal out of the draft last night on Raw. I mean, they talked about it, but I'm a little worried about what we're going to see Friday, because I guess I just had my expectations were maybe too lofty as to expect a different vision for the WWE draft. And they started talking that way with folks in NXT, for example, declaring for the draft, like a college player would declare for an NFL draft. And that kind of put my antenna up of like, huh, okay, this is going to be, maybe this is going to be realized differently, this whole draft concept. But man, if it is, they haven't done anything to like clue the audience in on that, how it's going to work, how it's going to play out, what to expect. So it's almost like a warning shot in my eyes of like, don't expect anything else, because we're not going to do anything else. We're just going to have the little old like randomizer picker thing, or maybe, you know, Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis will, you know, kind of have different segments and skits and whatnot throughout the show. But are you so I guess it's a long-winded way of answering or asking, are you surprised by the lack of focus? And are you surprised that, you know, Triple H hasn't used this as an opportunity to really define and put his stamp on what is a pretty tired concept right now in WWE?
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's one of two things, right? It's either what you're worried about, and it's more of the same, or like a feature that Triple H isn't too worried about switching up, which leads me to other questions, or it's not – you know, it's under-promising, over-delivering, right? Which is better than, like, you know, some graphic that this is the greatest new thing ever, and it's the same thing, right? So I guess that's a pro. I think it's more of the former there. Because, like, does Triple H like sports?
He's not a sports guy, from what I understand.
Yeah, I know he likes West Ham because they have a hammer in their logo. that's the only sports team I know that he likes, for sure. So, you know, I don't know if he's like as inspired by a lot of us with like how the NFL draft is presented and the pomp and circumstance and like telling the story of an NXT person that, you know, I'm going to guess half the audience that's watching Raw or SmackDown does not know. So you get their kind of like, here's their, you know, like on for the NFL draft, right? You can watch the ABC version, which is, you know, for the heart wrenching story of how that, you know, someone's grandmother died and they overcame the odds and became this whatever, right? There's always like some horrible tragedy in their life. Or you watch the ESPN version where you can see like Schefter and Mel Kiper talking about his pumpkin pie and all that sort of stuff, right? So and how he drove there because he's scared of planes, which is always like a red flag in a human for me. But anyway, I guess no offense if people are scared of flying on the chat here, but I guess offense too. But I think it's just more the former of like, they'll probably tweak it a bit, like we see with camera angles and things like that. But, you know, it, I just think it's what you're guessing, right? It's kind of going to be more of the same. It's already that, you know, I mean, it's already established that Cody's a SmackDown guy and Priest is a Raw guy, right? So are those even going to be picks, or is that like establishing the rules before we get there? That's, you know, if that's already established in some sort of document before the show rolls out that these titles go are already here, right? Because like, what's the name for the other WWE tag team titles? Like the,
it's the WWE, it's the World Tag Team Titles, and there's the WWE Tag Team Titles.
Okay, which is very stupid. One is the World and one is the WWE, right? I mean, at least you can do the same thing with the World Titles, right? It's the Undisputed WWE Title and then the World Heavyweight Title, right? At least there's some.
I think
there,
that's even. Much. I think that's on the same level of dumb because it's not undisputed. Like there,
yeah. There's another one.
There's another one, right?
Yeah, over it's there. Entirely disputed. 3 hours a week.
Fully disputed.
Yeah.
Universal title.
Yeah, maybe that's a better name, right? The disputed WWE title.
I mean, you're kind of you're illustrating my point, really, which is like, okay, so what are we doing? Like, maybe like, I guess there's a chance. Paul Levesque as Booker just wants to, this is not as big of a concept as we should have made it. So because we can't do it any other way. So we're just going to like not do it in like a big big way and just not treated as big as it was treated under Vince. I doubt it because they're like, they're giving it some hype. But I get, because like I had a different thought on the world titles, and that was going to be my first question in terms of analyzing like where, you know, where you think some of these guys are going to land. Because I think by changing it up, you know, by especially on the women's side, when you took away like the SmackDown Women's Championship and the Raw Women's Championship, you know, like now all the titles are brand neutral. They're not tied to any brand. They can go to any brand at any time in any draft. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, I'm thinking because of that, everybody's up for grabs in the draft, including Cody, including Priest. Now, you're of course assuming they're not going to end up on the same show. But my question to you is, Raw on Netflix looms. It's not that far away when you really when you break it down. It's about 7 months away before Raw makes its big debut on Netflix, $5 billion, you know, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, a ton of money. You know, do you draft Cody to Raw and have him, you know, kind of be an anchor to that show and start treating that show like the A show it's going to be once January rolls around? And then move Damian Priest over to kind of anchor the title situation on SmackDown. Maybe put some other, you know, some stronger babyface challengers over there to face him. Like, there is a bit of a conundrum here because I think you want your big time stars. To me, you want them around for that Netflix debut. There won't be another draft before then. What are you doing with the world title situation? And we'll kind of make our way through, you know, some of the top names and not a full draft preview, but let's just kind of like break down and analyze where different guys can land. So where are you on the world title situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think Damian Priest is not the champion in January. I think that's pretty easy to assume, right? That's right. When the Netflix thing happens. I think our friend Phil is probably the champion around that time, and that's someone you can book for Netflix to keep them happy. The true one Bill Phil can finally come out of the woodwork and make his presence known. And Cody can anchor for USA, where he's been on this entire time on Raw, right? I think that's a good way to smooth things over with them. And then you can reestablish where you are at that time. And if you have like a Rock Cody match at, WrestleMania 41, you got to assume they're going to be on both shows during that time frame too, to keep everybody happy. So I'm not too worried about that, I think.
So you're gonna keep the titles where they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, or you
Cody and Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it actually matters at all. You're leaving both shows, like both are leaving. You're gonna keep the property on USA Universal, but you know you're leaving both. The current show is leaving both by the end of the year, right? So I don't think it entirely matters because you're changing everything up so dramatically that you might as well just keep things where they are for the time being. But, you know, I don't know. I'm also like pretty neutral on that. And you could like give me a good point. I could change my mind too. But I think the force there is that they want Cody, like top guy in the mind of the fan is the Roman spot on SmackDown. So there might be a lot of force to move that off of that point. Moving Cody or having Cody on Raw and Priest on SmackDown, but you know
that's my the problem is like you're not going to Netflix. It's not a problem, but you're not going to Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do you want a show with Damian Priest as the lead champion on Fox? You know, like. That's where I see this kind of like being an issue. But long term, like I think you definitely want to get Cody on Raw because it seems like the business there at hand is Rock and Cody at some point down the road. And I think Rock's gonna want a piece of that Netflix thing. Like I think that he's gonna want to, you know, be the part of the face of that. I think when all that goes down again. I think you want that to be on Netflix and not on, not on the USA network. So, but really the issue is like Damian Priest, like I don't think he clearly cannot be an anchor up for one of your top shows. So I think Cody will find himself on Raw at some point. I think you're right, though. I think it's status quo as far as those championships go, you know, with the draft coming
up. Yeah, and literally both shows moving pretty close to each other. I know the gap, I think it's still just going to be on USA, is kind of where we're at right now, right, from the September to January timeline for Raw.
Yeah, though that's a whole nother, yeah, whole nother thing. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, Fox is down at the end of the year, and they'll go to USA probably on Tuesdays. We'll see, or I guess not Tuesday. I don't know. CW's all that. So, like, that all being said is that you could easily do, like, hey, both shows switch channels and maybe even days for both, right? Yeah. And that's a good time to do, like, everybody's on both shows to keep, like, as many eyeballs on as possible and get the audience ready, all that sort of stuff. And then you can do another draft too. So I just don't think it's the biggest concern right now. If Cody's still as over as he is, he's probably on both shows, you know, all of January to hype the Royal Rumble and to make sure there's still eyeballs on the product. Right. So, and Rock too, probably. Right. So, I just don't think it's, you know, not like Vince Zone where, you know, he's rewriting a plan for Raw at 5 o'clock and then 6 o'clock and then 8:30 for a 45 segment. But, you know, I just don't think that's like as much a concern for Triple H at this time, if I had to guess.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, I guess as we talk it through here, like, yeah, if Drew McIntyre was sitting there as world champion or CM Punk was world champion now, I could see like, all right, we've got the firepower to like switch this up, get Cody situated on Raw, you know, have that be his show, like going into Netflix and all that. But, you know, they went to Priest. And so, you know, I think it's unlikely that they have him try to anchor a show. Even last night on Raw, you know, without Cody, without Punk, without Seth, without, you know, Drew, you know, having a match of any kind of significance without Rhea, like that show lacked like a lot of firepower. And it's like
Gunther as well didn't have a match.
Drew didn't have a match. So it's like
Gunther,
right? Or Gunther didn't have a match. Yeah,
yeah.
He was there, but no match. Sammy, no match. Like, so like, like, I think you had like a look at what like a brand would look like with Damian Priest as like the league champion. And
yeah,
you know, it's not that it was bad. It's just he's not in that spot yet. Like, you know, he's – and so it – I mean, if you were watching it, it wasn't necessarily bad. But he's not going to, like, draw in eyes like Cody and Seth and all those guys will.
Yeah. And it's only, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Has there been two Raws, right? Or three Raws?
That was the third Raw. Third,
yeah. I mean, and this is, like, a very small sample size. But, like, Priest kind of reminds me of, like – Kenny Omega as world champion, like not it, only in the way that like there's really no difference in the character with the belt and without the belt, right? In the way Kenny was his entire run presented. So I don't think that's going to be the case for Priest, but like the fact they still like basically just doing Judgment Day stuff, and you know he's got a promo with Jay, but that could have happened without the belt as well, right? So it is like a stark comparison of like how WWE was able to portray the belts, you know, Seth's belt not so much near the end there. He didn't seem to care about it, but that cost him too. So interesting that maybe it will cost him against Jay is the story they're trying to tell, that he's like still worried about his faction as opposed to his title reign. But yeah, I would agree that this is you know, a work in progress for sure.
Right. Yeah. And I just, for right now, you know, Fox is not where you put like the work in progress stuff. Like you got to put made stuff over there. So yeah. All right. Let's get to a super chat here, and then we'll move on down to the secondary or to the women's division. Sean jumping in. Thank you, Sean. Says definitely excited about the draft. I really hope Triple H puts a great spin on it and gives us rules about how it works. Yeah, Sean. I mean, I hope so too. I'm just waiting for like at this point, you know, on social media to drop like here's what's gonna happen. Like here's the rules of engagement for the draft. Or here, watch on Peacock as Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce prepare or whatnot. Just haven't gotten it yet. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, that's telling. It's telling one way or the other. Either it's going to be as bad as we think, or it's just not going to have as much emphasis on it. And we'll see come, come Friday. Oh man, I just thinking about like Michael Cole like selling the picks when they like do them like the randomizer like picks, and he's like, oh, what a great pick. What a great pick, Maxime Dupree. I mean, boy, oh boy. Yeah. And it's just like, oh man, like dude,
six overall, like third round, number one.
Right.
Pick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like complete, like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Completely ridiculous.
I mean, like ideally here, right, is maybe you can establish it here to start it. Is it's like, you know, any other sports draft where, you know, like you could maybe trade people that are on either show currently, or like they're free agents at different times so they can come up and choose their show like they've kind of already done in storyline. Like yep. LA Knight could be a free agent and both guys try and get him, and he, you know, they do a loser leave SmackDown match or whatever, right, for the free agency of LA Knight. But yeah, it's NXT people, right? The people that have the six people say like, hey, I'm going to one or the other. And then you draft those, you focus the entire draft around those six people to make them feel like big stars and that both brands want these people, right? Like, isn't that the best way to do this like long-term?
Oh yeah, for sure it is. Absolutely. I mean, and here's the thing. I've got with what Sean's talking about here in terms of like detail.
Yeah.
I'm up for anything, as long as it's defined in some way. Like, I'm willing to see this kind of play out any which way. If they come forward and go, hey, this is how we're going to do it. Okay, I'll sit back, watch it, see how it plays out, and then, you know, analyze and critique later. But I'm willing to give them latitude to just think of a way to try to do it and then do it that way. If that means current stars or just edit, like whatever. To me, the importance is like defining what this is and making it something. And there's just, at least I'm surprised there hasn't been any effort to do that as of yet. So yeah, Sean, yeah. But I'm with you.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
Oh yeah, I would say more like it used to be than anything is my guess, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's but like I think if yesterday on Raw, you had, you know, some sort of vignette that they cut talking about how the draft was going to work and like what's going to happen and like, you know, there's going to be this specialty pre-show thing on Peacock on Thursday afternoon or, you know, whatever. Then you'd go, okay, I don't know how many people are going to watch that, but this signals a clear direct change in direction. And that just wasn't there at all. So yeah, I think more of the same, folks. Don't get your hopes up. Sorry, Sean. I wish I can give you better news. All right, let's talk about the women's champions here. You've got Bayley, who just became the WWE Women's Champion, and Becky Lynch, who literally just became the WWE Women's World Champion on Raw last night. What are you doing with these two champions, Tyler? Are you keeping them like aligned? I look at this and go, because you're not going to switch the men's title, you could pull off a switch here. Becky has nobody to face on Raw. Like, she has run through that entire division, not beat them, but I mean, she has just faced everybody. Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, that already happened. I mean, like, there's just not a lot of folks for her to take on. Now, there's not SmackDown's not stocked up with folks either, because Becky has wrestled pretty much everybody in big matches. But I think it's just the change of scenery in general would do Becky Lynch some good. So for that reason, and same thing for Bayley, really. I mean, you move her over to Raw. She could work with Nia Jax. She could work with Liv Morgan. She could work with Rhea if Rhea comes back there. Like, I just think that there's more opportunity for some fresh stuff if you flop those titles. So that's my prediction. Let's call it that.
Yeah, it just depends what you want to do, right? Like, I think, like, moving Damage Control over to Raw probably frees up more opportunities for Becky than her going to SmackDown per se, right? It just depends what you do,
yeah.
Right?
Well, certainly that's both, yeah.
Good certainly point. Both, like, Damage Control needs to be away from Bayley, and right. Becky needs some new opponents, right? I think is, like, the biggest thing that we need here. So, you know, does, like, Nia go to SmackDown and Damage, you know, whatever. As long as it's, like, a more
that's a good point, roster. Though. That's a hold on, I don't mean to cut you off, but I that's an important point to call out, because I'm thinking like move the champions. But you're right. If you decide, hey, we're going to leave these titles all worthy, and that goes for the men's titles too, and just trade the challengers around, that accomplishes the same goal, especially in this instance with, you know, fresh opponents for Becky and Bayley. So good call. Go ahead.
Just depends what you want to do, right? Because like that battle royal last night, it was thin.
Yeah.
When you look at everybody who, like, literally, what was it, 14 or 17 women?
Well, I don't know, but it was three.
Like, yeah, but it was like, man, this is everybody. Everybody in the building that is signed to WWE.
Is anyone, yeah.
That was in that ring. And it was like, whew, there ain't nobody. Whoever wins this has nobody to work with, right? Because everyone's got the same thing except for Liv. That's why it probably seemed like she was more likely than anyone to win that based on that. Yep. But, you just need to reshuffle the decks. So, yeah, the title, if it stays, if it goes, you know. I think, honestly, at this point, Becky and Bayley both give you about the same, right? They're both legacy acts at this point. They're about to retire way. They're established future Hall of Fame acts, a.k.a. legacy act. And they can work with anyone and can feel relatively big as a result, right? So I don't think it entirely matters which show they're on.
I think that makes sense. I think that makes a lot of sense. All right, the mid-card titles, Logan Paul holding the United States Championship and Sami Zayn holding the Intercontinental Championship. It's interesting that Logan Paul is advertised for Raw next week. They advertised an appearance from him. They're going to get away with it by it being like the draft. I don't know that like you can read too much into that. I know there was a lot to do about, hey, that means he's getting drafted to Raw. I don't know. Like you kind of have to keep Chad Gable and Sami Zayn together. Don't you think, man? Like, so unless they're like both going to go to the same show, I think this is more of a one-off thing for Logan Paul than anything significant from a draft perspective.
Yeah, and you got to remember, we're a month out from Backlash?
Yeah.
So it is time to set him up in a match, and he's like a big international star. So, you know, I think they want to frame that as well. So, and this is going to get a lot of eyeballs because of the gimmick. So it could also be that too. But again, it's like, if it's either, I'm not going to be surprised.
Right.
But I do think this is a place to feature your top talent, and Logan is certainly a top talent in WWE at this time. So.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he is a big international star. So when they do these international events, like he's going to be on the card.
Has he missed one?
I don't
international
think so.
Show. He did. He was in the Elimination Chamber, right?
No. He was in the Elimination Chamber. Yeah.
And then he was at the Clash at the Castle? I know he's at all the Saudi shows.
All the Saudi shows. I don't know that he was a full time guy really at the Clash at the Castle at that point. Because it was he's going to be on that show. I can almost guarantee that. Logan Paul's a guy that like the fresh opponent issue isn't really an issue. Everyone's a fresh opponent for him because he hasn't worked with that many people before. And he's not working with them week to week. He's not working with them on the road, you know, like, so there's no way that like it's not as big of an issue for him as it is for like somebody like Becky or Bayley because he just doesn't matter what brand he's on because there's fresh opponents everywhere you look.
And is it correct in the chat? It's like next week. I'm thinking my brain's on Double or Nothing. I don't know why I thought they were the same weekend. For some reason,
I thought next week.
May 4th. So not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Yeah, so like almost 10 days away. Yeah.
So never mind on that theory. Thank you.
Well, I still think he's there to make a match, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you can sign anything up, right? A little AEW-ish, but, you know, if that happens, then we'll make sure we get that critique in. So,
yeah, I think we just did. And then, you know, tag team situation is what it is. You know, we got a question about the tag teams here, and we'll talk about this part of the draft from Adam. Thank you, Adam. For contributing to the show this week. Appreciate you, man. What do you guys think of teasing a breakup of one team and splitting another when the tag divisions are so weak? I think what you're alluding to, Adam, is last night, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano lose their tag title opportunity to the Awesome Truth. Afterwards, Ciampa essentially just is angry that they lost and storms away without shaking hands and leaves Johnny Gargano alone in the ring. And then Ludwig Kaiser just demolishes Giovanni Vinci, essentially ending that, you know, that era of Imperium. That I think is what Adam's getting to here. I'll throw to you, Tyler. What do you make of that when the division is so weak, as Adam correctly puts it?
I mean, I'm surprised Vinci wasn't released today with all the recent releases. Like, because I don't know what, you know, I mean, I guess, no offense, I guess, but like, what is that guy going to be doing if he's not part of a team?
Like, well, nothing. I mean, like, it was telling last night. Like, did you notice? Like, it felt like everybody in the crowd was like, well, we know we're supposed to boo this. And like, Kaiser's kind of being a jerk, but like, it's just this Giovanni Vinci guy. This is pretty cool to watch him just get beat up for a few minutes.
Yeah. So, not a lot there. But yeah, I mean, it's also confusing to do this while you have created two world tag team titles. So you essentially would need at least the same amount, not, you know, 20% less tag teams, right? Because like the six tag teams in the WrestleMania match, were there many more you could have made realistically?
I mean, I guess they all beat somebody to get in, right?
Yeah. So yes, you could double it if you had to.
So you could double it. Like,
that are like legitimate contenders. So now you have to have like, you know, you're not going to do every pay-per-view where you defend both belts, right? But like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me. I don't know if you're trying to do like Blackheart Ciampa again, but they're not over enough to even try to redo that angle.
No.
So, but you know, him being the one that's a heel, you know, is follows that storyline. Maybe it's a switcheroo and Gargano does it, but I don't know. Like, even on that show, like, what is DIY without each other? They're just jobbers. Right. They're just like a lesser Ricochet if they both are not together. So we'll see, but it seems like a bad call right now. So
I hope that's not what they're doing, Adam. I guess that's my the way I'd answer.
Or they're both getting drafted in NXT to help Shawn Michaels on the CW switch to get some legacy stars in there.
Man, I mean, maybe. I just hope that these aren't breakups like of both of these teams. I mean, Imperium's one thing. Like, that group's been around for a while. I think they want to break Kaiser off to see what he has. I could see, you know, Vinci just being gone. Gunther landed on one show, Kaiser landed on another. And then, you know, you go from there, they go their separate ways without having like a true breakup. But the Garganos and Ciampa stuff, like, you hit it on the head, man. And I wrote this morning. Like, there's no, they're not over enough for anything. Like, they just got started really as like an actual true tag team on Raw just a few months ago. So, you know, if the idea here is like, oh, let's break them up and put them on their own shows. Like, that is like, that's the nail in the coffin they don't have momentum as single stars, neither one of them. So they need this tag team. They need it badly. So I hope that's not what it is. As far as the divisions, you know, I mean, look, you know, what you're seeing here is to me, WWE, Paul Levesque, just like Vince, thinks that he can make a tag team pretty much out of anybody. That's my take on this. Oh, we don't have anything for Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Put them together, you know? Oh, let's get the Awesome Truth back together. Like, I think that he thinks that he can just create these tag teams out of midair. It's not a priority. It's just not a priority for the whole company. And it never really has been when you break it down. And this to me is just more sign that's accurate.
Yeah, like when Logan Paul loses the U.S. title, like, he can instantly just be in a tag team with someone you want to like get the Logan Paul rub as a heel, and boom, you're good to go. Like, that's probably a tag team champion team on SmackDown or Raw, depending on where they are, right? So like, if Ciampa and Logan Paul were a tag team, I guess the idea is that, you know, Ciampa would get the rub as a heel as a result,
right?
Because it's like this thought experiment to like stretch it out. But yeah, that is kind of the problem with modern tag team wrestling for all companies, right? Not that there's like, you know, other kind of AEW has teams that are teams, right? And don't really split off. And I guess New Japan, they kind of use that as like a proving ground for single talent, which is kind of a good thing long term.
Even New Japan, you get teams like
who are the tag team champions right now? The heavyweight tag team champions of New Japan. I have no idea.
I don't even know. But I know that like they have random teams like Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi together. It's like,
yeah. Neither of you are openweight champion right now. Okay, I guess we'll make you tag.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, Adam. I mean, I love tag team wrestling. Like, I really. So, you know, it's. I don't know that there's a promotion out there on any kind of major scale that like treats tag team wrestling like I think it could be treated. You know, AEW does probably more so than anybody, but even that, it's not. You know. It's not great, but it's better than other tag team divisions for sure.
I don't have this answer. I know you wanted to be a little more straightforward today, so I apologize for this. But like, when was the first? If anyone has the info, please like at least maybe NWA to keep it like a major company through line. But, like, when's the first tag team world title it come into play? Is that like date back to the 30s, 40s, 20s, right? Or is that like an invention of like the 70s and 80s? To like, because like it feels to me like a true, like if I'm running a company, like I don't even start with a tag team title when I day one of the promotion. And like tag teams are to get things squashed into advanced stories more so than like the prize is a title, because right, the world title should be the most important thing. Like if I'm starting a company, I've like a world title for both men and women, and then probably secondary title for both men and women. Maybe even lean into that, but it seems like to me tag team matches almost always are better when they're leading to a singles match, right? Or they're filler for TV or for a live show more so than like a whole division based around them in general as like a rule of booking. But I know you and I differ on that too.
So. Well, I just think it's kind of like, I mean, look in today's landscape, I don't know that I would even, as a big of a fan of tag team wrestling as I am, I don't know that I would disagree with that, because that's the environment in which it all takes place. But I think if you actually took time where like some of your biggest stars are tag teams and they perform in tag teams because that's their specialty, and you treat it as something like important in and of itself, I think you could get it to a level where it can matter just as much as the world title. But you have to like really maintain integrity with it and not go, oh, but really love this one guy in this tag team. Let's break it off and like do a single. Like, you have to like really like maintain integrity. And to your point, it's not just WWE or AEW. There's no company that's really doing that on a high level. So maybe I'm the one that's, you know, naive to the whether or not it can work.
And I'm wrong. Maybe it's the children. No, it's the children.
Yeah.
The Principal Skinner quote there. I have one more thought question for you, and everyone else watching this can use this in a mailbag episode for other shows, because this is a good mailbag question for there other pundits. So Zach, you have two options, right? You're starting a company, and you either have to have the exact same number of belts that mean exactly the same thing that AEW has currently, or this is a wrestling company that we're starting, or you have to do 100% sports feel. So you're like UFC, where you have six weight divisions and you have a champion of each for men and women. No tag team, nothing like that. It's all singles matches. Which one? You have to do one of the two. Which one are you which one are you doing?
You have a twisted mind, my friend, to pose this question. Very twisted. No, I'm going with like current AEW, and it pretty like steadfast in that answer. The weight divisions just can't work like in professional wrestling. Like, I, you know, especially the way they are in UFC, where you have 155 pounders and 170 pounders, and like that's 15 pounds apart, right?
Yeah.
So there's you cannot make that work. And also you can't in professional wrestling, like you're looking for more than just somebody who can fight. you know, it's character, it's entertainment, it's drama. There's a lot more like that has to go into that. So in both of those terrible worlds, I'll pick the Tony Khan title obsession. What are you taking?
Very good. I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay.
You're just limited.
Okay.
You're so limited.
You're so limited. Yeah.
It would be definitely like a blood sport type promotion, which would be like a very cool, like 4 times a year indie event to do it that way.
Yeah.
Where you have people that are weighed, but you can't do weekly television and 10 events a year. It'd just be impossible.
It would be.
Make it like legit and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. And I think once you do that, it'd be cool. It'd be cool on like a certain level, like 4 times a year. Yes. But every week for 52 weeks, no way. You can't do it. And really at that point, just watch UFC. Like if that's because that's almost 52 weeks a year too. Last thing in the draft here before we move into some other topics, and we got some cool super chats to get to. I want to talk Becky here in a little bit. And also I want to get to that Ospreay Danielson match too. But are you expecting any surprises in terms of like shakeups, whether it's a tag team or whether it's like a tag team breaking up or, are we going to see any stars come back? Are they going to bring anybody in? I don't know. Is Jordan Grace going to make an appearance again? Like, you know, I'm just, you know, what's your expectation as far as draft surprises go?
Yeah. What's a guy from Impact's name? Is it Jason Alexander?
Josh Alexander?
Josh Alexander. I was like, I know it's not the actor from Seinfeld, Jason.
It's not George. No.
Like, he's available and he was injured when he left, right?
Well, I don't think he's available.
He re-signed.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to think anyone that would even be remotely available that would like be worthy to present them in that way, right? I don't know if there's anybody.
I don't think so.
Sure, we're missing somebody huge here. You know, Matt Hardy, does he fit that bill? You know, is he not signed to – I don't think he signed a contract. He's just in the main event of Impact or TNA, you know? But, you know, is that even worth it? Like, I don't know. Unless Jeff gets cut and they can do the Hardys again. But even that's, like, a bad idea. So I would lean towards no. But, hey, maybe I'm just totally omitting somebody in my brain right now. But you know, I don't think anyone's readily available that I can think of.
I'm leaning towards no, too, man. I mean, you may get, like, somebody like Alexa Bliss or somebody like that, you know, that gets kind of makes her return in the draft. She's been away, you know, having a baby. Carmella is somebody else that, you know, same kind of thing, been away, but obviously neither of those two characters or acts are like big time needle movers. I think you will see a healthy dose of NXT. Like, I think you're going to get Carmelo Hayes. I think you're going to get, Bron Breakker's already signed. I think you're going to get Ilya Dragunov, Roxanne Perez. They've all declared. So I think you'll see them. But yeah, man, I mean, I just think it's kind of a quiet draft. Like, and again, the best way to look at that would be, well, Triple H knows it sucks and it's impossible to pull off, but we have to change up the rosters. So let's do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always that other scenario out there where it's the same old.
I got another good idea for the draft. Besides the NXT one, do like a, you know, how like a supplemental draft works when you have like an expansion draft, right? Like each team, like in hockey, you get to protect like, you know, a goalie and 9 skaters, right?
Yep.
And do something like that where like everybody gets to protect their champions and like 6 people. And that's like a pre-draft special of who gets protected. And then you can have people mad at Aldis for not picking them or whatever. And then those people are like, in the queue, you know, whatever. So yeah, just more rules would make this better. And I think like it puts people in tiers, but like you're already in tiers, you know, it's pretty obvious who are in what tiers already on that show. So I don't think it's like, no one should be surprised and be upset when you're Otis and you're like not protected in the first 6 picks of your brand. Like,
I hate that so much. And I hate Michael Cole selling them. I'm just going to be like, clawing my ears out as I hear this. So
The antlers going is the important part.
Where is Ivar gonna be?
Yeah,
he's on every show, so it doesn't, you know. Good goodness, we'll have you covered, guys, as the draft goes on Friday and on Monday. Try to do some updates here as far as that goes, if anything big happens. So keep it locked here. And of course, you know, what are you guys thinking? Let us know. Follow us on Twitter. Drop us a message there. We'd love to hear your thoughts more on this subject. But let's pivot. Let's pivot. And for those watching that have never watched before and are here for the first time, welcome. This is the Brass Ring Media Podcast. We're live with our flagship show two times every single week, Tuesday nights, Thursday afternoons. And we've got other live shows all throughout the week as well. So the best way not to miss those, subscribe to the YouTube channel right there. It's right there, the button right there. Just push it, subscribe, and hit notifications so you know when we're live. Cool? Okay. Becky Lynch became the Women's World Champion yesterday on Raw, winning the Battle Royal. Battle Royals, man, aren't the best way to crown a new champion. I give WWE a little latitude in this instance because they're dealing with an injury. They got a pay-per-view in 10 days. They got to get something going. Zach joins us with a super chat and says, I hate that Rhea got hurt, but the GOAT is where she belongs, atop the women's division. It just feels right. Now build up Tiffany Stratton for SummerSlam. So we started going out down this road of Becky Lynch, but man, she's, you know, at the top again. She's the champion. Did you like the call, like putting the belt on her as opposed to the other two real options they had, which was Becky Lynch and Nia Jax and Liv Morgan? Like, is this a smart call? Is this too safe? Like, where are you at on this move booking wise?
I mean, I think we talked about, like, when you look in that ring, like if you're Triple H and let's say the ref's got the mic in, the earpiece, whatever that's called, like IVF, I think, mm-hmm. something like that. I'd be like, all right, tell Becky she's going over. We need her. We need some stability at the top here. So I think you're okay being safe when it's like, yeah. Oh, okay. We need to not mess around. Right. It's kind of the like debate that's going to be happening with Ospreay and Swerve. I think Swerve is in a much safer spot. I'm not even thinking it's the same situation, but like if Hook is the champion right now, and Ospreay is where he is, you'd be like, what are we doing? Why is Hook the champion?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like Liv Morgan and Becky is kind of that much of a chasm, in my opinion. Like, and I don't even dislike Liv Morgan, but we've seen it. I think her character work is like way better to like get over as a heel and like do like a Damian Priest style run where you don't just like come in, injure somebody backstage and then win the title, right? It's like the wrong kind of heat. So even if she does win it in 2 months from Becky, if they're on the same show, or from Bayley, like I'm way more for that. So some stability at the top, I think, is healthy to get people over because I think you'd be pretty close to some go away heat for Liv if done incorrectly. And I think, you know, she might have grown as a character in her delivery in front of the audience. But if it's the same run that we saw last time, I don't think this would have been good for Liv in her career.
Yeah.
I'm Liv.
Yeah, I think this is like it's a stabilizing move. It's like, okay, man, we don't know what to do, and we don't have a lot of time to figure it out. So let's just get it on Becky. And yeah. It's not that she doesn't deserve it. I mean, she's a top star in the whole company, you know. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Though, you know, I also think it's probably maybe telling like how long Rhea Ripley may be out for, like what they think about what her timetable is, because if they thought it was like 2 months time, you know, or you know, 6 weeks or whatever. You could either just keep the title on her, or B, like, all right, we're going to turn this around fast. So we don't want to like have this big crowning moment for Becky. Let's put it on Liv quickly. And then Rhea's just going to come back and take it off her right away because they have that match and feud set up. So the fact that it is with Becky, you know, it makes me think that, yeah, they want to take some time and line up some opponents for her. Tiffany Stratton, as Zach mentioned here, that could be something that they go to again. As you mentioned, the damage control folks, all three of them, Kairi Sane, Io Sky, you know, those can be opponents. But the issue that I had with it is just, what do you do with her? Like, she's worked everybody. Like, how do you keep her fresh and compelling? And to me, it's good opponents. Like, they need to work hard right now to make sure that she has good, strong opponents to work with. Or up and coming opponents with shine to work with. And I think if they could do that, okay, they can get something out of this. If they can't, it's just going to be like, you're going to be watching the clock for Rhea to come back.
Yeah. another totally, it's related but unrelated, just quick question, mailbag question for you, Zach.
Yes, do it.
Totally unrelated reason why I'm asking these two people, but if you had to choose Tiffany Stratton or Ludwig Kaiser, you can only pick one. You have to cut the other one. Who are you picking?
Oh, man.
Totally unrelated. Not that they're a package unit or anything.
So I'm picking Tiffany. I'm picking Tiffany. And here's why. It's not because I think that she's like a better worker than Ludwig Kaiser. She might end up being, I don't know, but that's not why. But to me, it's like opportunity. The men's division is crowded with like top guys, like Roman and Sammy and KO and Randy and Drew and Punk and Priest, like and Gunther, like. So, like, what kind of project are you taking? LA Knight, yeah. Like, what kind of project are you undertaking there? Like, do I think he's a guy that can, in 2 years, jump all of those guys? Like, maybe, but I'm not betting on that. I am betting on that I know Tiffany Stratton can. Not necessarily because she's the most talented, but because there's just not a lot. There's not as much in her way as far as competition goes. So, Tiffany is my pick. Pretty definitively, too.
I agree, too. I think it's also pretty definitive. And I much prefer Ludwig Kaiser in the ring. Obviously.
Oh, totally. Of course.
Tiffany is a much more defined character even at this point.
Yes. So. Yeah, because like as good as Ludwig is, like, and you saw him kind of on his own yesterday, and I thought he looked good. I thought he was able to kind of deliver that attack, and there is like a charisma there, but he still has no character, like his own character. Like he's like Gunther. He's like a B-level Gunther at this point. Like, he's got to find all that. Tiffany has it. So, well, you might not like it, but she has it developed. So, yeah. Good question. Dude, you're like coming up with the mailbag questions today. I love it. thank you, Zach. Hopefully we answered your question. Appreciate you for asking it. Let's go to another super chat here. And this comes from... story that broke today. I'm going to paraphrase this story, guys. You can head to postwrestling.com for the full kind of update on what happened with Vince and the lawsuit against him. Post has done a really fantastic job covering this story at a very, very high level, a detailed level. So for intricacies, I highly recommend you go there.
Yeah. And Brandon's part of that team too, Thurston.
Yes, and Brandon Thurston with WrestleNomics is part of that team too. So, there is nuance to this. I just want to call that out because I'm going to paraphrase what happened. But head there and get more detail if you're interested in it. But basically, Vince, I think it's called filed a motion back at what's her name, Janelle Grant, like invoking the NDA, right, that he had.
Yeah. Like arbitration to enforce the NDA, basically, right?
To enforce.
Very, very broad, my recollection of reading it. So you let me know if anything else.
No, that's what it was, generally speaking. So the implication of that is, like, he basically is rendering her claims essentially meaningless because they were under the terms of an NDA that she broke, correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like from a legal filing standpoint, you know, the rebuttal is, A, you didn't pay the fee to make it a real true NDA that was binding, is the first legal argument, I would think, right? Because the payment stopped. So that's like, makes it null and void, in my opinion, if I have that understanding correct. And also, like, it's in the public domain, so it doesn't really matter either. And he's not going to win any damages from her if he does win in the long run anyway. So,
yes. But that, my point was that was like, you're totally, I thought the same thing. It's like, well, if you don't pay the NDA, like, but the filing indicated that that's the road he's going down. So,
I mean, the only legal lever he has to pull. So, yeah, sorry.
Right. And so Zach says here, and thank you, Zach, appreciate you, says Vince did not hire OJ's dream team of lawyers. The patent absurdity of trying to enforce the arbitration clause of a contract that is being contested as illegal is Simone Biles level legal gymnastics. Yeah. I mean, Zach and every, like, yes, that's what Vince is trying to do here. I don't think this tells me that, like, Vince doesn't have a lot to lean on. He knows he's in trouble. So he's now tried to discredit Janelle Grant with leaked stories about, you know, different love letters that she sent him. And now this. So, like, this is Vince's own dream team of lawyers working to find a way out of this. Like, that's what it is. So legal gymnastics, legal BS, whatever you want to call it, like, that's what this is. And I think it paints Vince as, to me, it paints him as somebody that's really grasping at straws here. Like, that's my take. It's like, uh-oh, like, this isn't looking good for you, man. And it doesn't look good for him, rightfully so.
Yeah, I certainly hope that Vince's FBI agent is watching every wire that comes in and out of every account that he's a part of. Because what, over $10,000 you fill out a form? I know, at least on a deposit, I don't know about a wire. I would assume the same.
I would assume, like, it's the same.
The second a wire from Vince McMahon, any of his shell companies, which hopefully they have as well, that's going to a Saudi, a Qatari, a UAE bank account, I would be dropping charges on him beyond this stuff because, it just seems like he's in that mode, right, of seeing where he is and getting out of Dodge before it hits him. As of this seems like just like a very small version of that. Just my opinion. No, facts to base that on, but selling that stock makes no sense besides if you're going to do that.
If you're going to do that, and the bottom line is Zach, like, it maybe his only option, you know, and I don't know if he has a dream team of lawyers or not, but like
his buddy DT has all the lawyers
that they DT's got them all cornered, man. Yeah. So I think that is what he's doing. And it's, hey, look, the chickens come home to roost, man. That's what, most of the a lot of the times that happens, and he's going to fight. Cause that's what Vince McMahon does. Like, that's what Vince does. But this isn't somebody that I think you go, oh boy, they're going to have trouble now. Yeah. I think it's just pretty meaningless because of what Tyler said. Like, hey man, you're not paying. So it's kind of void, the whole NDA idea. Yeah. So,
if that is true, right? She said that, and yeah, I guess you can come back that he did pay it too. So for allegedly.
Yes. No, that's important to call out. Cause we're talking about the happenings of this case, but it's all alleged at this
point. We would not be on the jury if this was a real case, right? Because we'd be biased towards the person against Vince, right? So as long as we call that out, I think we're fine.
Biased for the person against.
That's what I meant, yes. Not biased against Vince, yeah.
Yes, so. Biased, yeah.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. Don't need that to be pulled. And
the aggregators are going to jump on that one.
Yeah.
So thanks, Zach. Yep, good point. Good to bring it up. Again, head to Post for more detail, because they've done a really nice job covering this from a detailed, nuanced legal perspective. So highly recommend. Appreciate you, Zach. All right. Let's wrap up here with the Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson match. Tyler, you were in the building. Hell of a match. An amazing match. A astounding match. Complete lunacy. Crazy. Just wonderful. We've got some back and forth on this, on the super chats. I gave it 4.75 stars. Rings. God, I'm never going to get used to that for our own thing. 4.75 rings on a 5-ring scale. I want to just put that out there. It's capped at 5, folks. We're not going over.
Did Dave's come out yet? I can't wait.
I don't think so. I can't wait for it to come out, but it's 5. That's it. And so the 4.75 rings is based on the 5-ring scale. So it's like, that means near perfect. Near perfect. And I felt I had a pretty good reason to downgrade it a tad. Now, Zach disagrees. Zach jumps in. One of the greatest matches any of us has ever seen. And you gave it 4.75 rings. Shameful. If that match doesn't get 5 rings, no match does. Well, that's not true either, my friend. I did give some 5-ring, 5-star matches in AEW, for that matter. So But that's one opinion. We're going to go to Adam, who jumps in and says, I'm proud of Zach.
That's for Adam. I know you're going to read that.
Yeah. But. I'm proud of Zach for rating it, how he seed it instead of following everyone else. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for that. Sean jumping in on this topic as well. I just couldn't give the match 5 stars. After Danielson's horrible injury angle, there was just no excuse at all. So that's where, and then Adam Belsis says thumbs up on the Rock shirt. It's a great shirt, man. Your wardrobe is out of control. thank you, Adam. So, hey, look, I don't know what else to say. I thought it was one of the best matches ever. I put it on a tier, like masterpiece level tier. I didn't like the finish. I didn't think you needed like that kind of a finish. And so I took a notch off for that. I don't think that that's something to get all up in arms about, Tyler. You were in the building. You gave it the full 5. We're not that off. If we were debating like 3.25 versus 3.5, we'd be like, yeah, we're pretty darn close on this. And I think we're pretty darn close on Danielson versus Ospreay too. But what do you make of our debate here?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're both right, if that makes sense. And it's like the Lucas warm take possible. But like, I think you would say like,
such a hedger.
This is one of the greatest matches I've ever seen, but I didn't like this finish, so I gave it this rating.
Yeah.
So like that's like fair. And I think everyone that's not there, you know, no one's saying it's like this is 2 stars. This is Carney indie bull stuff. We're on the free show. So you know, I think that would be a different story, right? It's just a matter of opinion. I think it just is like what you prefer. Honestly, like I have the video. I filmed the final sequence for my seat, and it stops right as it's the both of them running from the corner into the storm driver, and then I stop it because like I was like, oh, it's over. Cool. I got the finishing sequence. I don't need to get the pin.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's how like even I felt live. I stopped recording because I was like, oh, cool, it's over. I don't really need to record this pinfall because I see 10,000 pinfalls. So even live, I was like, oh, it's over, right? So yeah, it's just the one negative with that match. But like literally, it's perfect before that. So the finish is a big deal. So if you want to rate that accordingly of like, would you say it's an asterisk? Like if you've given 10 5-star matches and this is a 4.75 with an asterisk, like they're all in the same tier, I think that's totally fine.
Yeah. Look, yeah, right. Again, if you're comparing this, if you think this was like 7 brass rings and you're looking at, hey, why did Zach only give this thing 4.75? Well, okay, yeah, that's a quite bit of distance there. But again, this is a 5 is the top, premier, tippy top. So I think if it was 2.5, 3, 3.5, even like 4, I think you could be like, yeah, that's pretty shameful, man. But 4.75? Yeah. Come on, man.
I mean, and to me, it's like the same sort of thing. Like, I still think Danielson should have won the match for like the long-term story that you could tell there. And it kind of cools off Ospreay a little bit, and not in a negative way, but like in a way that he needs to like give him something to do before he gets that title. Like, I think that's what other promotions would do with him to like make sure, you know, he's got to avenge this loss, even if it's a match that's not as good. So like, that's like another reason to score it differently, but like the bell to bell, and that is bell to bell. It's a perfect match. And yeah, that the angle is after the match as well. So it's like the same sort of argument you can have, but I think as long as you agree bell to bell, it's one of the greatest things anyone's ever going to see, then whatever opinion you have after that is fine with me.
There you go. There's Tyler Sage bringing some calmness to the debate. Good stuff. All right, you guys, we'll wrap it up there. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you for everybody who joining us for the first time. We certainly appreciate it. If you are not able to watch us live at any point throughout the week, whenever we're live here on the Brassery Media YouTube channel, you can pick us up as a podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. We're up and live there now, finally. And so hopefully you guys take advantage of that. Subscribe, take us on the go. Don't miss any of our shows. We got a diverse array of show styles and show hosts and different perspectives on this style of covering pro wrestling. So check them out. I think you'll like them. I think you'll be happy that you did. Once again, If you want more from Brass Ring Media, myself and Tyler and everybody on our team, become a Brass Ring Media member. Head over to Patreon now. It's patreon.com/brassringmedia. It's a free member show once a week. It's access to Discord where all members hang out, talk wrestling, talk life, talk sports, talk whatever. We're there hanging out. It's a really good group of people. So I think you'll definitely want to join us. And also you get access to the PLE and pay-per-view review shows and a bunch of other cool perks. Head over to Patreon now, patreon.com/brassringmedia. Tyler, any final words, my friend?
I don't think so.
I think
we got it. Excited for what Dynamite has in store tomorrow and excited to see. Hopefully we're both wrong about the draft. Hopefully it's more exciting. But we'll see. We'll preview that more Thursday and then talk Dynamite. So,
we'll see. We'll see really soon. Thanks so much, everybody, once again. For Tyler, I'm Zach. We'll catch you guys next time. See you.